You're listening to Blue Collar CEO, the podcast that's all about helping you build a better, more profitable, and more sustainable home service business. Each week, we'll cover a different topic that'll help you enable your company to move forward to success. And here's your host, Ryan Redding.
Blue Collar CEOs, good to have you again. I've got another awesome episode I can't wait to get into. But yeah, lots of things have been going on. This episode has had me really hyped for a while. You have probably seen this woman's work in a lot of places because the stuff she does is extremely eye-catching. I've actually seen people like imitating her deliverables because it's so dang good. And I've actually sent stuff over like, hey, is this you? Because it's very distinctive, very, very good. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I'm just going to get into it. Nancy O'Hare Zika from Yellow Dog. Nancy, what is up? It is good to have you here.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to chat with you and to talk to our people in the trades, share a little knowledge.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people like you who are, one, really stinking good at what you do, two, really helpful in general. You're someone who always I see trying to help people, regardless if they pay you a penny or not. You're very open-handed.
Yeah, thank you. You know what? I'll tell you, I'm super passionate about the trades. I have no idea why. Like, I don't know how I kind of fell into this. It just happened. But I really feel this calling, and it isn't always about working with the big guy with 200 technicians. You know, that's fun and it's exciting and it's awesome, but the guys that are starting out and they literally don't even have a logo yet. I mean, that's fun. That's fun to help those people out. And yeah, my door's always open as a resource for people to, you don't have to be a Yellow Dog partner in order to pick up the phone and call me, you know? So, yeah.
So for those who don't know who you are, like we're talking about logos and stuff. What is it that you do at Yellow Dog? Like help paint the scene.
Yeah. So Yellow Dog Creative is a company that works exclusively, a marketing company that works exclusively with companies in the trades. So pretty much plumbing, heating, cooling, and electrical. We are definitely known for our video production, kind of what got us to the dance years ago. We were recognized and won some awards for some commercials that we did, TV commercials. And this was at a time when people really didn't advertise on TV yet, especially plumbing, heating, cooling, electrical companies. So over the years, we've evolved and we now have graphic design and social media management and market strategy and audio services. And we do just everything marketing except website, pay-per-click, and SEO. That's the only area we don't do with marketing. And we work with some awesome people in the trades that do that. And we just refer them to those experts like Witt and Rhino, for example. They're doing a great job. I don't need to, you know, walk down that road because someone's already walking it and they're doing a great job. So I like to stay in my lane and fill the void for what isn't great in the trades. And that is what I feel like we do. And we kind of fill that that marketing void.
As also someone who does marketing, I tend to think of you as like mid or upper funnel. You do a lot with branding. Right. Like not much in the bottom of the funnel. Like you said, you're not doing PPC, you're not doing local services. You're right. Really creating really positive splashes of these businesses in their community. So when you think about branding, for a lot of people in the trades, they might hear that word thrown around, not really knowing what that is. And they maybe just, they don't know who to ask. What does that mean?
Yeah.
When you talk about branding, what do you mean by it?
Here's the thing. So plumbing, heating, cooling, electrical, as much as people want to argue with me about this, and they do, and I will have this conversation every day of the week, we are not in a call to action industry. We just aren't. People do not wake up and just think, you know, I think I'm going to replace my AC unit today. It's
totally agree.
Right? We are not called into call to action. All we can do with branding is we need to spend our marketing dollars making sure that we are known, our company is known as being the best plumbing, heating, cleaner, electrical company in the community. So when they do wake up and they don't have heat, or they do wake up and they don't have hot water or cooling, whatever it is, the very first name on the tip of their tongue is yours. That is branding. Spending your marketing dollars to tell your story effectively and efficiently so you are the first top of the mind awareness, right? So
top of mind's a huge deal.
It's huge in this industry. You have to be the best. And not only for like dollars and cents as far as sales and people calling you, branding also helps for recruitment. Every technician wants to work for the cool kid in town, right? Every wife, every husband wants their spouse to work at the most reputable and the most with the coolest van wraps and the one that shows, not the ones that are known for cutting corners and being shady. That's not who anyone wants their spouse to work for or them to work for. So branding is essentially making sure that the community, it knows your story. So many owners of companies, I think because we're in it, right? Like every day I pull up to my business and there's a big yellow dog on the window and I walk in and my coworkers are wearing yellow dog stuff. I eat, sleep, and drink yellow dog. I assume everyone knows what yellow dog is, but that's not the case. It is 100% as the owner of a business, it is your job to tell your story, and branding is how you do that. It's your way to tell your story. If you don't tell your story, someone else is going to tell it and it's not going to be accurate and it's not going to shine the best light on your company. So it's your job as the owner, I think, to utilize branding to tell your story properly. And another side caveat to the branding thing is this thing called brand equity. Brand equity, right, is awesome. And again, like when I started, no one even used the word branding. This wasn't even a thing, you know? So this has kind of evolved rather rapidly over the last 17 years. And people don't buy, for example, a Harley Davidson because it is necessarily the best motorcycle. I'm sure it's a very good motorcycle. I'm not a motorcycle person, but let's just say Harleys. I'm sure other brands of motorcycles are comparable in a lot of ways. But people time and time again are willing to spend 10, 20, 30% more for a motorcycle because it's a Harley. That difference between what they could pay for something else and what they'll pay for you, that's called brand equity. That's the difference that branding yourself will bring you. And that's going to be reflected in the bottom line, right, at the end of the year.
Yeah. And even if someone is looking to exit, that brand equity goes into a lot of goodwill on a valuation, right? It can really float a multiplier really easily. And there's so many things like that you're just rattling stuff off. And really each one of those little points you're talking about can broke down into multiple subpoints that we could talk about for a long time.
Exactly.
Right. So it's really fascinating. Something you said on a previous episode, we had someone who they do social media marketing and they spent a lot of emphasis focusing on story. Because in my experience, a lot of guys in the trades focus on the job. You know, like they take a picture of a hole in the ground. Like, look at this big pile of dirt we just made and the dude who's in the big pile of dirt. And for someone in the trades, that's a really cool thing, right? That's like a look at the job, look at whatever particular equipment that they've brought out.
Yeah.
And if you're a plumber, that's stinking cool. If you're a customer, it doesn't mean diddly.
No.
Right? There's no connection. What are you doing tearing up a yard? There's no story to tie it in. And I love that you challenge that it's the job of the owner of the business to be the one who's championing that story.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you don't want to leave. If you're going to leave any part of your business to other people to define, it's not that. I mean, you do not as the owner want to leave that to the competition or to the one lady who has a gripe. Don't let your story be told by those people. Actively tell it and tell it properly and tell it classy and tell it, you know, respectably. So that you are making sure your reputation is being accurately displayed.
I want to chase a rabbit if you're okay with it. You made the point about like Harley Davidson and you were using it as a metaphor for brand equity, right? I feel like a common misconception a lot of guys in the trades have is they think that people buy things because your equipment is better than someone else's.
No one gives a shit about the name of the equipment. No.
Nope. They don't care.
No. Nope.
And they're always like, well, I spent X much on this jetter or X much on this thing. So people really need to know that. I'm like, no.
No, they don't.
No one cares.
The only time I really encourage our partners to talk, you know, American Standard or Carrier or whatever equipment they're installing, April Air, is if you're getting co-op, right? I completely understand dollars and cents of marketing. So if you need to add a Well McLean logo on the end of something, or, you know, Tempstar, absolutely. We play that game all the time. But if you are not getting something for it, all people care about is if it's going to be efficient. And there's a big group of people now that want to make sure that it's green. That's starting to become, that's a thing, right? Is it efficient? But at the end of the day, is it reliable? Is it going to heat my house? Is it going to cool my house? Am I going to have hot water when I turn the faucet? What label is on the front? I have had this conversation, and at one point someone told me that they did a market analysis, and it's low, like 10 to 12% of people actually know the equipment name in their home. I mean, that's certainly not enough to hang your hat on. You know, that's not.
No, yeah. It's like inside baseball. Like, yeah. There's a few people, and it's part of this, like, again, thinking as a marketer, goes into like segmenting a market. You could make an argument that there is a very small segment that cares about, is it Trane? Or whatever reason that's important to them, right? I guarantee you it's less than 25%. I would probably say under 10%, and maybe even under 5%.
Yeah.
Teeny tiny. There's a whole other segment that cares about price. And I'm not sure that those are always the best customers, right? Those are the people who, I'm not knocking Walmart, but Walmart attracts people who price is the primary concern.
Correct.
Right? That's their competitive advantage, is low cost. There's this whole other segment that's like focused on value.
Yep.
Right? Which is like the Costco sort of equivalent, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, it doesn't have to be the cheapest. They just want to know it's reliable. It has a decent reputation. It's not outrageously expensive.
And there's companies, most of the companies we work with tend to be the ones that are the most expensive in their area, because they are the ones that are marketing and are doing a lot of training. And so there's a lot that goes into the overhead of running that sort of a business. They're usually the best in the industry, right? So here's the thing with these companies that do offer the more expensive ones. We always make sure, because you're absolutely right, there is a subset that price is a big factor. And it's got to be. That's the reality. But there are so many outstanding financing platforms at this point. If you are a company, make sure you're telling, putting a little icon on your website that says financing available isn't enough. I'm telling you, that is not enough. You need to advertise or market that financing is available, you know, zero payments for 60 months, because people are going to be much more forgiving if you have a higher price ticket, if they know. And a lot of people who are struggling financially are embarrassed of the fact that they're struggling financially. And that's unfortunate, but it's the reality. They're not going to ask. They don't want to ask because they don't know if it's okay to ask that question. Can we get financing for this? Because I think people still feel like there's a stigma there. If you can't just, you know, write a check. Well, very few people can just write a check right now, you know? So I think you just have to actively make sure that that's another thing that you're telling, that part of your story, that you understand that there's people who need help and that you're willing to offer this financing.
I think there's a lot of really good points there, because if you think about when a customer is getting offered financing, one, nobody wants to pay for a new system, like especially true in HVAC. If it's a garbage disposal, some people who that's budget prohibitive, but let's take them aside. But when you're doing $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 on an HVAC replacement, there aren't a whole lot of people who can afford to just write a check and get that out. And it's a lot of the same way that like car dealerships rarely advertise the full purchase price of the vehicle first. You know, they don't say, hey, you drive this off the lot for $50,000. It's, hey, for payments as low as $399 a month, because that all of a sudden opens up an entire other segment of people.
Right.
Can't swing 50, but they can totally swing 400.
Yeah. 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 So, you know, there's so many facets of marketing, I think, and it isn't just traditional marketing anymore. There are so many things to think about. There is the recruiting aspect. There's the branding aspect. There's the, the financing aspect. And then there's just educating the public about who you are and, you know, why you are the best when they need somebody. That has to be done, and it has to be a full-time job. I mean, you know, even if you're the smallest company, if you're a two-guy shop and your spouse is running the books and the business, you still have an obligation to be telling your story. And social media is an area that cannot be overlooked at this point. You just have to be active.
I mean, what you're saying is spot on. But what do you say to people, though, who feel like they can't, you know, a lot of guys in the trades are very transactional, I would argue. Yeah. They're used to, they pay X, they get Y, whatever that is. What would you do to someone who's struggling seeing the ROI connection between telling your story on social and putting cool, you know, wraps on your trucks and having these awesome videos, essentially building that brand and that brand equity and calls on the board? Like, they struggle to see that attribution. How do you help them think through that?
You know, at the end of the day, it is my job to make sure that their phone rings, period. Now, if someone is, because you're absolutely right, it's really difficult, right? You know, van wraps and SEO, pay-per-click, social media management, graphic design, all that stuff is really hard to track. And they want tracking. They want to know exact. But at the end of the day, people are going to pick up their phone and they're going to Google your company name, and that's the number they're going to call. So it is very difficult to track effectively. But I tell people, you know, for 3 months, I want you to literally pen and paper. Every time the phone rings, I want to see a tick on a piece of paper. Obviously, the bigger companies that are using Titan and you know, different platforms, they have the ability to do that. But these smaller guys don't. And I really want them to keep track for 3 months, for 90 days. How many times did your phone ring? Now, granted, your daughter's going to call and your wife's going to call and your vet's going to call. But those sort of calls are always going to be happening. So that's just a wash. If after 90 days and then you do some marketing and then do that same, just tally. If your phone is ringing more, it is working. And there is no silver bullet. There's no one thing, right? So you just have to kind of play and do a little bit here and see if that works. Do a little bit over here, see if that works. And just kind of be pivoting all the time. And the first couple of years of marketing is really a learning experience. But it's an experiment, really.
There's a lot of experimenting. And that's like for digital, for instance, that's one of the reasons I love it personally.
Yeah.
You can test it and compare, right? It's billboards. I'm not knocking billboards. Some clients we work with have amazing return on a billboard campaign. That can take 6, 12, 24 months before you really start noticing, like, holy crap.
Yeah.
And one of the things you said earlier was kind of the value of top of mind, you know, so that when a customer has a problem, because they're not waking up being like, I wonder which plumber is around me, just because top of mind is a big deal to think of when someone thinks about a plumber, like who's the one that comes to mind. If you're game with this, this is a little bit unusual. I'd like to play a little game with you. I'm going to throw out a couple of like products that are fulfilled in the real world. I want to see what comes top of mind to you.
Okay.
Are you down?
I'm down.
Let's see what happens here. Hamburger.
McDonald's.
Watch.
Rolex.
Luxury car.
Mercedes.
Budget car.
Kia.
Kia. Interesting. When you need to print something.
You printing.
Oh, that's it. You just got it. Sports team?
University of Michigan.
Of course you would say that. Of course you would.
Go blue.
Steakhouse.
Steakhouse?
Yeah.
Ruth's Chris.
Ah, good one. Good choice. It's so interesting. Like these things, the top of mind things are really important because that drives response. And I remember, I don't know if you saw this. It was a few years ago. You said McDonald's. They did an analysis in a market. Where was that? Where they basically tried to assess their in-store sales volume based on brand campaigns happening in that market. And you think about McDonald's, Pepsi is another example of similar scale, where they're in every other TV commercial, it seems like. They're always on billboards. You see their, you know, distribution trucks driving down the road. People don't really wake up being like, I'm going to go eat at McDonald's today. The money that they've spent making you say McDonald's top of mind, it's astronomical.
Huge.
Astronomical.
And the biggest thing that McDonald's has done is they have told their story, right? I mean, they have for years and years and years put it out there. When you think of McDonald's and when you think of those commercials, they're not, and Pepsi and Coke, they're not always about the product. It's the feeling that that product brings you, right? So
absolutely,
it's very similar. That's branding at its finest. The other thing that McDonald's has, not to take this away from them, because they are the master of this, they have created consistency. You can go to McDonald's in Utah and you can go to McDonald's in Boston and your product that you receive is going to be exactly the same. You know what to expect. And again, on a very small scale, I'm trying to get these companies, plumbing, heating, cooling companies, to tell their story and be consistent. So the customer also knows exactly what to expect. They expect the booties. They expect that the guy's going to clean up after him and leave the area cleaner. So McDonald's, I mean, that's a great little segue with that too, but they have offered the ability, they have figured out the way to offer a consistent product time after time after time without fail. And I think
McDonald's, I absolutely agree. And there's other companies similar. So people are like, yeah, but that's McDonald's. I mean, Starbucks is another one that comes to mind. It doesn't matter which Starbucks you go at what day of the week, your barista is making that same order the exact same way.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because I think a lot of guys feel like, yeah, but that's just the big company. They can afford to do that. And my knee jerk is, bro, you've got 6 trucks or you've got 12 trucks, right? You can absolutely teach those guys how to ring the doorbell the same way.
Yes.
Right? Like it doesn't have to be super detailed, super robotic. It can absolutely be park here. Answer the door like this. Always put on your booty. Tuck your shirt in.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, when I was a GM at Swick Home Services here in Marquette, Michigan, before the marketing thing started, you know, we role played every week. Every single Thursday, we role played door greets. We role played going over options. We role played, is it okay if my van is parked there? Do you need me to move my van? All that stuff. And you're absolutely right. If you do it enough, it becomes body memory and it doesn't feel insincere. It just is, it's obvious that you're professionally trained and that's not a bad thing. We're not asking, like I was never asking my guys to not be genuine. I just wanted them to have a business card in their hand when they approached the door. So the first thing they could do was hand the customer their business card. And, you know, there's these little processes and procedures. I'll tell you, if you're a new guy starting out, now is the time to figure out what your processes and procedures are because it's so much easier to train 2 than to train 70.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of you're absolutely right on that. That's a huge, huge advantage to the companies that have in-house training and they are spending the time to make sure their guys are consistent. Again, getting back to that.
I'm curious because you obviously you're the thing that I've seen you excel at is pushing the brand in front of people, delivering a brand promise, all of that. How do you personally approach or think about contractors in a market where, let's say it's really dense and it's really competitive with other companies who are doing similar high value branding initiatives? Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, I think that no matter if you are in a very dense population, I don't want to hear the excuse. There's no people. I live in a very rural area. And I also don't want to hear the excuse. I live in a very overpopulated, denser. I have tons of competition. First of all, if you are fortunate enough to live in a super dense populated area, you have 2 things going for you. First of all, you have customers at your fingertips. You have very low windshield time, which companies that are rural don't have to deal with. You also have a plethora of technicians. Now, they happen to be right now driving someone else's van, wearing someone else's uniform shirt, but that doesn't mean they can't be yours, right? So you have a lot of stuff in your favor, but I believe that those densely populated areas, those companies need to spend much more time doing unique marketing that sets them apart. So I'm talking about stuff like, oh man, run a monthly fundraising campaign on social media where you give away $500 a month to charities, create water bottles with your label on them and donate them to every high school for every sporting event that they can sell at concession and make money. Oh yeah, that's great, right? And if you are I'm not kidding, like a pallet of water bottles with your label on it, you know, costs $600 and that it, for 1,000. So that school just made $1,000. By your donation because they can sell them for $1 a piece. Everyone in the stands at every football game and basketball game is holding a water bottle with your label on it, right? You have to think outside of the box if you're in that. Partner with your humane society. Offer to sponsor pets that have been in the shelter for longer than 30 days. Call it something, the Lonely Hearts Club. I don't know. Come up with something classic. And then pay for the the adoption fees for that animal. Once that animal's adopted, you cover the fees, but then you get a picture of the animal and put that all over social media. Give away free service partner plans to realtors that they can then in turn give to new homeowners. I mean, there's just so many, right? There's so many ways that you can market yourself that isn't traditional, that's going to set you apart from the people that are doing all the traditional stuff.
It's so funny. Like as you're going through this list and you're just like shooting from the hip and all these ideas on their own are gold. It reminded me of a guy we work with. He's in Atlanta. And you know those like clicky top pins that you can get?
Yeah.
I think he gets like 50,000 clicky top pins every few months with his logo on it. And he drops them off at local restaurants.
Yes.
Because his argument is all this wait staff, they always have all their tables steal their pins. So the wait staff is always struggling to find what pin am I going to need today? And so he just drops them off for these restaurants. And he gets phone calls from clicky top pins that customers steal.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just crazy.
I mean,
it cost him peanuts comparatively.
And another thing, which, okay, so this one's a little excessive. I'm going to just throw this out there in advance. If you live in a smaller community, find an event that is not being held, whether it's a marathon, a triathlon, a 5K, some sort of an event like that. Find out, talk to people, find out what you feel the area is lacking, start it and call it the Applewood Plumbing and Heating 5K or the, and do it every year. Pretty soon that your name becomes synonymous with that event and people will.
That's a really clever idea.
I mean, there's just so many, right? But it's all, but when you take all this stuff, when you take all of these things from traditional to non-traditional, it all goes back to the same thing, branding. It all goes back to getting your name out there and attaching it to things that are worthwhile and engaging and that people are going to like, right? So yeah, it isn't as hard as it seems. It isn't as daunting. Sometimes people just need a little help, you know?
I love the idea. Like I'm thinking of like Paschal Oktoberfest, you know, of just,
yeah,
that sounds amazing. And it's a great way to get your name in front of people. Holy crap. This has been, you've like just in just a shooting from the hips, you've got all kinds of really awesome ideas. If you had, how about this? What is the most frustrating, like the thing where you saw a company doing something and it just made you hit your head into your desk? It was so ridiculous, so awful.
Having a crappy logo on vans, having vans that are peeling and, you know, half the van wrap is missing. Or it isn't wrapped at all and it just has literally press on letters. That is the biggest, because it really doesn't, in the grand scheme, it doesn't cost a lot to make your vans. That is your most visual part of your business. Make sure your vans and your logo represent you. You can fake the rest, a lot of it, honestly.
You totally can. Do you have a wall of crappy logos in your office? We do.
Yes, I do. And I cannot tell you how many times I'm driving when we're traveling that I am literally taking pictures. Like, don't be this guy.
Adding it to the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Stan's Refrigeration, but the S so is missing. So it's Tans, but you can still see the faded mark where the S used to be. You know, I'm like, come on. That's not the guy who I want in my driveway. That's the guy who's going to abduct my children. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want that person in my house. My gosh. Yeah.
And that's different from the guys who are like ripping off guys who do quality logo design, right? So, because there's also those of people on Fiverr, like taking high quality logos from other companies and
featuring
them and spinning them out.
We do a lot of branding. Our graphic design team does a lot, but I will tell you the absolute badass in that area is Dan Antonella. He is Kick Charge.
Oh, Kick Charge.
He's the unreal. Best. He is like branding logo god of the trades.
I agree. I can't figure out how he does it so dang consistently. I've never seen him put out a mediocre product ever.
No. I bow down to the Dan. And I'll tell you, we have an outstanding graphic design team here, but Noah is in charge of our graphic design and we've done several for people who just literally can't afford and just can't do it. And I get that. And we fit that void. But yeah, if you can call one person and you can afford to work with him, Dan Antonella, Kick Charge, the man.
And I would plus one that.
Yeah, for sure.
So we've covered a lot of things. We could probably go for another hour and a half because this it's so easy to talk to you. You're a wealth of information. I'm not going to take you for an hour and a half. If somebody wanted to reach out to you to learn more about what you do, to see maybe if you would be helpful for them, how could they find you, Nancy?
So yeah, the best way is going to be to go to the website. It's yellowdogcreative.com. If you scroll down on that page, you're going to see all of our pictures. And if you kind of hover over the picture, all of our contact information comes up. My email address is on there, but all of our staff is first name, Nancy at YDC team. So no matter who you want to get in touch with, it's our first name and YDC team at the end. But there's also a contact form on our website that you can certainly fill out. We reply to those within the day. If anyone out there listening to this has a question or wants to bounce an idea, I cannot stress enough how you can pick up the phone and just ask to talk to Nancy. And I will sit and have set a couple hours aside and just talk marketing with you. And you can bounce ideas off me all day long, and it will not, I guarantee you, I won't take your email address and then start emailing you like a crazy person or calling you every Thursday. But, you know, that's really what we're here for. But yeah, best way is probably, and you can see a bunch of our commercials and our product on that site too. So that's probably the best way. Follow us on Facebook, man, because we put so much stuff on there. That's the most up-to-date way to see what we're doing.
I always feel like, I don't think I've ever done your Facebook. I follow you guys on Instagram because it's always kind of like the real time where you guys are shooting. It's always a fun look at a day in the life.
Yeah, the guys were in Buffalo last week and went to Niagara Falls. This week they're in Philly, and so they're all over the place shooting for companies and the trades. But yeah, Facebook's fun because Drew is the one that leads all of our shoots, and he also runs all of our social media for Yellow Dog. So it's fun because he is right there in the moment, and then every day he's posting where we're at. So it's kind of a fun way to keep up with what we're doing.
Nancy, you are the best. Thank you for being so generous with your time. You've dropped some ridiculous good things to think about. And for everyone listening, I can't recommend Yellow Dog enough. So Nancy, yellowdogcreative.com, check them out because they do incredible, exceptional work. And speaking as someone who also does agency work, they're also really good to work with. They're very open-handed, great communication. So yeah, Nancy, thank you for being awesome and amazing and selfless. You're awesome. Thank you for being on here.
Oh, thank you so much, Ryan. Anytime. And we need to probably have a chat soon and catch up on other stuff. Hey,
let's do over drinks, perhaps even.
Yes. Over drinks. Let's do it.
Happy hours. Nancy, thanks.
Happy hour on Zoom. All right. See you, Ryan.
Blue Collar CEO is produced by Citizens of Sound. This episode was hosted by Ryan Redding, author of the book on digital marketing for plumbing and HVAC contractors, and founder of DP Marketing Services. This show also includes much help from Shelby Nichols. You can subscribe to Blue Collar CEO on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Visit us online at bluecollar.ceo and find us on Instagram. Also, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review.